Once through the entrance, a ship is in a world of marshes, sandbanks, islands, and fish traps, not unlike the waters of the Yawash. We had a man aboard who had grown up on those waters, and he guided us. But the Danes had lacked any such expertise, and they had been misled by a line of withies stuck into the sand at low tide to mark a channel, which had been deliberately moved to entice them onto a mud bank on which they were now firmly stuck. Which was splendid. We had them trapped like foxes in a one hole earth, and all we had to do was anchor in the sea lake entrance, hope our anchors held against the strong currents, wait for them to float off, and then slaughter them. But Alfred was in a hurry. He wanted to get back to his land forces, and insisted we return him to Hampton before nightfall. And so, against Leofric's advice, we were ordered to an immediate attack. That, too, was splendid, except that we could not approach the mudbank directly, for the channel was narrow, and it would mean going in single file, and the lead ship would face 7 Danish ships on its own, and so we had to row a long way to approach them from the south, which meant that they could escape to the sea lake's entrance if the tide floated them off, which it might very well do, and Leofric muttered into his beard that we were going about the battle all wrong. He was furious with Alfred. Alfred, meanwhile, was fascinated by the enemy's ships that he had never seen so clearly before. "Are the beasts representations of their gods?" he asked me, referring to the finely carved prows and sterns that flaunted their monsters, dragons, and serpents. "No, Lord, just beasts," I said. I was beside him, having relinquished the steering oar to the man who knew these waters, and told the king how the carved heads could be lifted off their posts so that they did not terrify the spirits of the land. "Write that down," he ordered a priest. "And the wind vanes at the mastheads?" he asked me, looking at the nearer one that was painted with an eagle. "Are they designed to frighten the spirits?" I did not answer. Instead, I was staring at the 7 ships across the slick hump of the mud bank, and I recognized one. Wind Viper. The light-coloured strake in the bow was clear enough, but even so I would have recognised her. Wind Viper. Lovely Wind Viper, ship of dreams, here at Heilingsgay. "Uttrit?" Alfred prompted me. "They're just wind vanes, Lord," I said. And if Wind Viper was here, was Ragnar here too? Or had Kjartan taken the ship and leased it to a shipmaster? "It seems a deal of trouble," Alfred said pettishly, "to decorate a ship." "Men love their ships," I said, "and fight for them." "You honour what you fight for, Lord. We should decorate our ships." I spoke harshly, thinking we would love our ships more if they had beasts on their prows and had proper names like Bloodspiller, Seawolf, or Widowmaker. Instead, the Hayhengel led the Seraphin and Kristenlik through the tangled waters. And behind us were the Apostle and the Eftward, which meant Judgment Day, and was probably the best named of our fleet, because she sent more than one Dane to the sea's embrace. The Danes were digging, trying to deepen the treacherous channel and so float their ships. But as we came nearer, they realized they would never complete such a huge task, and went back to their stranded boats to fetch armour, helmets, shields and weapons. I pulled on my coat of mail, its leather lining stinking of old sweat, and I pulled on the helmet, then strapped serpent breath on my back and wasp sting to my waist. This was not going to be a sea fight, but a land battle. Shield wall against shield wall. A maul in the mud. And the Danes had the advantage because they could mass where we must land, and they could meet us as we came off the ships, and I did not like it. I could see Leofric hated it, but Alfred was calm enough as he pulled on his helmet. "God is with us," he said.
"He needs to be," Leofric muttered,
then raised his voice to shout at the steersman,
"Hold her there!"